Straight ahead, another quorum break. This time, Democrats in Tarrant County blocking Republicans from enacting a new lower tax rate. Commissioner Alisa Simmons on what's at stake and what will happen at Monday's meeting. Michael McCaul on what he says he will not do after leaving Congress next year. And one mistake he says the Trump team is making. Is a bailout coming for Texas farmers? Heading into harvest, they have plenty of crops, but China isn't buying. Texas Ag Commissioner Sid Miller with us on what impact the trade war is having. And a new poll gives John Cornyn his first edge over Ken Paxton. While the Democrats getting the most attention aren't even on the ballot.
Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley starts now.
Thanks for joining us here. A lot to cover, but let's start with the headlines as we always do on the program here. An interesting development looking ahead at the next year's U.S. Senate race here in Texas. First for Republicans. John Cornyn leading Ken Paxton 32-26%. The first time a poll has ever shown Cornyn in the lead in this race. And for Democrats, the two most popular people aren't even in the race. Beto O'Rourke and Jasmine Crockett polled highest. Texas Public Opinion Research did this survey. In Houston County, Judge Lena Hidalgo confirming what so many people suspected. She will not run for re-election as Harris County judge. Hidalgo was initially seen as a rising star among Texas Democrats, but had a number of high-profile run-ins with fellow Dems. Judge Hidalgo told KTRK in Houston that she is keeping her promise of only serving two terms. And primary night next March is likely to be a long one for Dallas County Republicans. The local party decided to hand count ballots rather than rely on technology next year. Challenge is hand counting almost 50,000 ballots in 24 hours as the law requires. That will be tough. If the Dallas County GOP can pull this together, it will be the largest jurisdiction in the country to hand count ballots. Let's begin now with another quorum break underway, this one in Tarrant County. The two Democratic county commissioners there skipped the last meeting. They're trying to block Republicans from lowering property taxes. Commissioner Alisa Simmons represents a large part of southern Tarrant County and makes the argument why she says this is a bad idea. Commissioner Simmons, welcome to the program here. Republicans on the court want to lower the property tax rate. A lot of people listening to this say, heck yeah, why not? Property taxes are out of control in the state. The question is, why shouldn't homeowners get a tax cut?
Homeowners absolutely should get a tax cut. Make no mistake, despite my absence from Commissioner's Court Tuesday, taxpayers are guaranteed to realize a tax rate lower than last year's tax rate. The current tax rate, the one right now for fiscal year 2025, is 0.1875. That will automatically drop to 0.1866. And that is the no new revenue rate,
right,
for fiscal year 2026. Check my record. I have voted in favor of tax rates below the no new revenue rate since I have been on Commissioner's Court. I support low tax rates that are apolitical and compassionate, that cut fat, not bone, and that protect your pocketbook and your community. So what I don't support is a tax rate that's, you know, more devastating than it needs to be.
What I read, that you're all about cutting fat in the budget, but you think that the Republicans want to cut into the bone here. You touch on a tad there, but if Republicans get their lower tax rate passed, what are the services that county residents will lose?
Again, human services, that goes out the window. And
which is rental assistance for people who need it.
Right. Rental assistance, utility assistance, bus passes, hygiene products. It's a devastating cut. Our refugee immunization program, that got cut for no reason. I spoke with the state agency that said, yes, the funding was paused for that, but it returned and Tarrant County decided not to accept it in those critical public health positions. It's too much for me to support.
You and Commissioner Miles didn't show up for the last meeting, which prevented the passage of the new tax rate that Republicans wanted to get passed. Judge O'Hare, the Republican leading the court, he responded by adding an amendment to the budget that would cut your staff down to just one person from eight or nine, I believe, and limit your travel budget to $1,000 if you do not show up to Monday's meeting. Question is, will you show up to Monday's meeting now?
I wasn't at Tuesday's meeting. I don't know why anybody would have an expectation that I would be at Monday's meeting. What we need is responsible leadership and not this petulant, petty, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to cut your staff type of leadership. It's embarrassing for a county, the 14th largest county in the country, the third largest county in the state.
Commissioner, thank you for the time. Please keep us posted.
Will do. Thank you.
All right, let's bring in the roundtable to talk about the politics of this. Bud Kennedy here from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I am Mitra with us from the Texas Tribune. He is in studio with us today, and Ashley Godot is political director at KVU in Austin. Good to see you up here, so thanks for coming up.
Absolutely.
Bud, this is your backyard. Let's start with you. Quorum breaks always get a lot of attention. We're talking about it here on the program. They never seem to work, though.
Well, of course, this means that it's election year next year. The Democrats want to make the Republican look bad. The Republican wants to make the Democrat look bad. But quorum breaks are a tool that can be used. But at the county level, also zeroing out your budget as a tool can be used. Commissioners can zero out any other official's budget if they don't do what commissioners want. The question is, did it go too far, zeroing out the Fort Worth and Arlington commissioners' budgets, road and bridge crews, everything? Does that make the Republicans look too harsh? He could have zeroed out half the budget and not had such a political drawback to
this. Yeah, and we'll wait and see what happens to that. Ian, let me bring you in next here, too. Is this the only true power that Democrats have here in this state?
Well, it seems like Democrats feel like that's their one kind of real tool that they have right now, too. We saw it in the legislature, obviously, with the quorum break, and we're seeing it here in Tarrant County. And look, if Democrats see this as an opportunity, not necessarily just about the actual legislation of an issue, but more so about the statement that it makes and the momentum that they get. So obviously, in Tarrant County, we're seeing the ability to talk more about this issue. And in on the Texas side, in the legislature, you know, they, you know, Democrats would say like it was a successful maneuver because they were able to get more of a national debate on this. So,
yeah,
you know, ultimately it's still kind of the legislation ends where it ends. But they would say that they would get something more out of it than we might.
And I would argue at least, you know, statewide, what we saw earlier, Ashley, you know, statewide, I think this time, this year, Democrats did get something more out of the quorum break because they usually don't. But they got California to, you know, talk about redistricting and make that attempt as well, too, if voters there agree with that. But this does seem to be, at the end of the day, the only true power that Texas Democrats have right now.
I mean, it seems that way, but I want to really hone in on something that Ian said, which is, at the end of the day, the legislation is the legislation, right? So at the end of the day, did we get a new congressional district map in the state of Texas? Yes, we did. Now, did they get attention from California to redraw its map? Sure, and we are having other states following suit. But one might say you could have gotten that attention regardless, right? No matter how you, if you broke quorum or if you just tried to call a lot of attention to it. I just am not sure that this is the most effective use of time or if quorum breaks are the most effective way to get your messaging across, because what's going to happen at the end of the day? Did you waste voters' time and money or not?
Yeah, and waiting to see what happens Monday there in Tarrant County, too. All right, Ashley, thanks a lot. A lot more ahead here in just a moment. Welcome back to Inside Texas Politics. Michael McCaul is not yet ready to say what he will do after leaving Congress next year, but the Texas Republican says there is one place you will not find him. The veteran Republican represents a district between Austin and Houston, but we reached him at the U.S. Capitol. Mr. Chairman, welcome back to the program here. It's good to see you. When did you decide it was time to move on?
Well, you know, I've been in Congress over two decades. You know, to serve two committees as chairman is remarkable, and it was an honor, but then you kind of top out because you're term limited. And so I didn't want to really go back to just a rank and filer. And, you know, the thing is, Jason, I've seen in my tenure up here, former chairman, who just quite frankly stay up here too long, and they're not happy, but they're not willing to let go of power. And that's the difference. I am. And I don't think our founding fathers thought this was a lifetime position. Washington term limited himself. Yeah. And I think in a way it's kind of noble. Yeah, you got three options to leave Congress. You can die, you can lose, or you go out on top. And I prefer door number three, go out on top.
Is the political climate in D.C. at all a factor in your decision?
It's more vitriolic than it was when I first got elected. It's changed. You know me, I've always been, tried to be a statesman, the rational man in the room, work in a bipartisan manner. That's the only way you're going to get legislation passed, is to work across the aisle. And I always had an agreement with my ranking member, the Democrat, that, look, when we can agree, that's great. When we can't, we can do so with civility. Yeah. And I think we're losing some of that. And we're demonizing the other side of the aisle as if they're not, worthy of being in Congress, or they're not human beings. I think we've lost a certain element of respect. And the rhetoric has gone way up. And it, quite frankly, has created a more of a dangerous, violent situation like what we saw with the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
And where should we expect you to show up? K Street and lobbying firm, or with a defense contractor, or academia? What are you thinking?
Well, I don't think I ever want to beg other members of Congress with my hat in hand. I think you could rule lobbyists out. But I've had some very good offers already come in that I'm really not at liberty to discuss. But, certain think tanks where I could pursue the passions I have with, yeah. Which still gives you tremendous status. There are some corporate boards that work on issues that I'm most interested in, like AI and advanced weapon systems. I still want to make a difference. It'll be in a different way.
Put your foreign affairs hat on for a moment here. One of your Republican colleagues in the Senate, Dave McCormick from Pennsylvania, says that the U.S. Is losing the artificial intelligence battle to China. China's just investing more in AI. What do you think the consequences of that is?
It's a great power competition. AI opens the door to advanced weapon systems. What really concerns me, Jason, is that we have companies like NVIDIA that sold China the chips that they used to create DeepSeek, which is their form of AI.
Right.
So it's one thing, they don't really innovate, they steal, but it's another thing for us to sell it to them. Now, NVIDIA at that time, we were a little behind on the export controls. Now they're in place, but the damage is done. And the other policy coming out of the administration that bothers me is this idea that a semiconductor company can buy export control licenses to sell into China as long as they give a 15% profit return to the United States government. This, in my view, is selling our national security.
You have more than a year left, but yours is a voice that will be missed on Capitol Hill, and we hope you'll still join this program in the future.
Thanks, Jason. I'd love to.
We appreciate it, sir. Take care.
Thank you.
We are heading into harvest season, and Texas farmers are flush with crops, but there are no customers. China always buys a lot, but it's shopping elsewhere now because of the ongoing trade war. Our next guest is Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, who we reached at a conference in Arkansas. Commissioner, welcome back to the program here. Texas farmers have record yields of corn this year. There's lots of soybean and sorghum as always here, but their main customer, China, not buying any of it because of the trade war ongoing with the Trump administration here. What's going to happen to Texas farmers as they go into the harvest this fall?
Well, we've got a good harvest finally, but it's not worth anything. That's the problem. That's the way it usually goes. Well, there is hope on the horizon. Actually, as we're filming this today, there is talks with the Chinese on tariffs, and hopefully we will have a breakthrough there. I know we just cut a deal. We're sending our Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rawlings, to the UK. They're going to be talking about buying some more of our corn, some ethanol. So we've got some deals in the works. So I think the future looks bright. We've got record low commodity prices. The good news is we've got record production both in corn and cotton.
What are you hearing from Texas farmers, Commissioner?
Well, it's tough. It's the lowest commodity prices we've had in probably 20 years. If it wasn't for the good production, we'd be out. A lot of farmers couldn't get financed this time, so there's There's a lot of, idle land out there. Most of the state's in good shape. We've got ample rains. That's why we've got good crops. But from El Paso to Brownsville, if you're in a county that touches the Rio Grande, you're still in a drought. So those people are still hurting. We just sent out about $280 million in water grants to those farmers who were denied water from Mexico because they couldn't plant crops this year. So we struggle, but hopefully there's help on the horizon.
Well, let me ask you about that. In 2019, I remember President Trump and Republicans ended up having to pass $23 billion in subsidies for farmers because of the depressed prices and because of the tariffs back then, too. Do you expect this ongoing trade war is going to result in more handouts to farmers?
Well, we hope not. We don't really want handouts. We want good prices and profits. And that's what we got under the last Trump administration. He told us, he said, "Now, boy, it's going to get a little rough at the front, but I'll take care of you." And he did. He did not let us go out of business. He passed that amount you just described there, and he kept the farmers afloat until prices went back up, and they did go up, and we made a very good profit. And I look for the very exact same thing to happen this time.
Commissioner, we always appreciate the time, sir. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
And the roundtable is ready when we come back here on Inside Texas Politics.
This is Inside Texas Politics with Jason Whiteley.
All right, time now for Reporters Roundtable to put the headlines in perspective. Bud, Ian, and Ashley all back with us here. And let's start with you, Ashley, about the Democratic ticket. There doesn't seem to be a lot of excitement around who Democrats are running right now. There's Andrew White for governor, Vicki Goodwin for lieutenant governor. Colin Allred is running again, plus James Tallarico. He got the biggest crowd, and polls show him dead last right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Democrats are going to have to come with it, right? They're going to have to do something if they're going to get some excitement and fire up voters to actually show up. I do think it's still early, right? It's very early, so we still have plenty of time to see what would happen, but they're going to have to really try to get people excited.
Well, and how do you do that, Ian? Because we've seen Colin Allred on the ticket before. We've seen Andrew White on the ticket before. What else should they be doing right now?
It's a challenge. And I think, they're also kind of battling, fundraising juggernauts across the state, whether it's, Governor Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick and their war chests. It's really hard to kind of get a lot of excitement for Democrats and to talk in those races. And so that's why they focused in on the Senate, was because they saw a real opportunity there. But for them, it's just about building up recognition. I mean, really kind of exciting donors and really trying to get some message across in creative ways. That's one reason that Tallarico is actually trying to make some ways, is like through some creative social media engagement as well.
Yeah, he has that huge following there. But I guess the other question is, too, is the Republican ticket that formidable when you consider what happened with the deadly flash floods, how that relief took the second special session before it got passed, and then the THC disagreement
between leaders. The THC collapse, and then there are a lot of people who would like to see sports gambling legal, if not casino gambling, in Texas, and that's not getting done in Austin. You look at 8 years ago when you had Beto and Beto's money on the top of the ticket. Paxton's race was very close. Patrick's race was very close. So those are races that Democrats could win, but they need a candidate. I'm surprised that Tallarico is running at the federal level. They need an education candidate at the state level. The educators of Texas don't have that. Andrew White will try to fill that gap.
Let's talk about the other remarkable retirements. One of them we discussed earlier in the program here with Congressman Michael McCaul. Ashley, McCaul is one. Morgan Luttrell, another congressman from Central Texas down there too. Speaker Dade Phelan from the Texas House. Also, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo, we mentioned at the beginning of the program. What do you make of so many people leaving their offices right now?
Well, I do wonder, when you talk about people like Dade Phelan and you talk about Congressman McCaul, I do think that the changing dynamic within the Republican Party is absolutely playing a role in their decisions. And I think that, I talked to Congressman McCaul as well, and he told me, I went from the party of Bush and Reagan to the party of MAGA. And I do feel like there is a feeling that is not going to change, that is not going to, and I should say, and some lawmakers are wondering, where do they fit in? And if they don't feel like they fit in, then they feel like maybe it's better for them to bow out.
And Bud, let me ask you that. Congressman McCaul told us he did not want to be another rank and file congressman after serving as chair of the House Homeland Security and House Foreign Affairs Committee. Was his retirement expected?
I don't really think it was expected. I think he was frustrated in Washington, but you look at some of the districts drawn, it'd be comfortable for him. You know, I don't totally expect it. What's amazing to me, Jason, you look at the loss of Republican veteran talent, you know, from Kay Granger last term to McCall this term. The senior Republican from Texas is John Carter. After that, the next most experienced Republican is Roger Williams. That's the Republicans have all come home.
And with so many veterans leaving, Texas loses clout in D.C.
That's right. And, you know, this, whether you think about, like, Michael McCall being in office, elected in 2004, for the first time, the amount of intelligence being lost in that body. And then you see also just this trend across, you know, other states as well, just, you know, of these departures as well. And so, you know, that also means that that type of, you know, leadership and senior ranking leads to committee chairmanships. And that's something that Texas is losing as well.
And but, you know, we also have seen, you know, people moving up in the House. So is this, you know, I'm thinking Briscoe Kane in the Houston area and a number of other people running for federal seats. Is this just cyclical? Is it anything more than that?
Well, I think you have a dramatic change in the Republican Party and who's getting nominated, who's going through the primary. Then also you look on the Democratic side in those cycles. You look at Judge Hidalgo stepping down. She was one of the Democrats who came in the Beto year when they flipped Harris County.
Right.
You know, she was a kind of a wonky progressive, never quite the ceremonial county leader. But, you know, she's done too.
Yeah, indeed so. Guys, thanks so much. We appreciate that. And before we go right now, a quick salute to our studio audience, the Texas Lyceum. Squeezed into Studio A here with us. The nonprofit does a lot of good work, as you likely know. The latest effort is to return civility to our politics. So thank you for watching today. Thank you, Lyceum, for being here. We're back next Sunday to take you inside Texas politics. We hope to see you then. Take care.